Want to immerse yourself in sport and the stories of athletes from across the Pacific? Well, join me, Sam Wykes, alongside some of the most talented journalists and sports commentators from across the region for Fresh Off the Field. Each week, we'll also bring you interviews with Pacific athletes leaving their mark on the international stage and those aspiring to do the same. From cricket to netball, athletics to football, and everything in between. Listen to Fresh Off the Field on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Come na Māori to our Kiribati audience and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinido Aruna, aka T, and alongside me is my Koi for our second last episode for 2025, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, happy Monday. Welcome back. It's been a big weekend. How are you?
AKA T, my Cook Island Koi. Oh, man, I'm actually a little bit tired. My throat might be a little bit sore. Big weekend of coaching at the Pacific Youth Cup. I had my mighty under 14 girls go down in the semi-final, but we will go through
we'll get to that shortly. Shenanigans
and I guess complaints that were probably put towards me. So I will explain that. I will justify my actions. Nah, not at all. But can't believe it. Second last episode for the year. It's been a massive year. And we got another big show before we start to wind down for Christmas and we ramp things back up for next year.
What do we got lined up for today?
Lined up, besides mine and your competitions that we were coaching on the weekend, R360. It looks like it is finally dead in the water. It might be a lead balloon or sausage, no sizzle for the R360 competition. So we'll talk a bit about that.
For now.
Shelley Long, she'll be back with some NRLW news and some of the rugby sevens that kicked off in Dubai over the weekend. And our guest this week, he is a giant of a human being, Tongan. Hell of a story. His name is Sitaleki Timani, and I had the pleasure of playing alongside this big human.
And he lives in France. We're going to be speaking to him while he's in France, and we're here in Australia,
Sydney. And probably the big one out of that, at 39 years of age, born and raised in Tonga. Played for the Wallabies. He actually signed with the Cronulla Sharks as a 20-year-old. Played for the Western Force and...
Wait, Cronulla Sharks Rugby League?
Rugby League. So there's a bit of a journeyman to get to where he is now. And at 39, he plays for Tonga, makes his debut against Scotland not that long ago. And we'll be chatting to him later on in the show.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, I know you said that you were coaching. Well, I also was coaching over the weekend, and I actually wanted to come down and watch your tournament, but I was stuck with our 9PL tournament here in Sydney. It was held at Wentworthville Magpies. It's a nines tournament, rugby league, 16 teams. I got to coach our team from our community, it was the FTA team. We had Tai Tuivasa.
You guys were over the salary cap by far.
UFC fighter Tai Tuivasa was in our team.
Big Bam Bam was in your team.
He was in our team, and we sprinkled him with a lot of youth across the Penrith
district.
He's
only young himself, though.
He was the oldest player on the team, I think.
What, at the age of?
At the age of 33.
Ooh, 33. I thought he was younger than that for some reason.
He's about 32, okay. 33 is my brother's age, yep. Or 1 year younger. We had George Jennings.
Brother of Michael Jennings.
And then we just sprinkled the rest with all youth that were, young, energetic, good footy players. But, you know, the competition had plenty of Pacifica representation. We ended up making it to the grand final. And the two grand finalists.
What a coach.
Get a ticket to the Gold Coast tournament, 9PL tournament that's held in January. So we'll be heading to Gold Coast. But the team that we lost to, Campbelltown Saints. Now, another community team, but this team was run by Jared Hayne, the Parramatta Eels legend.
Plane.
The Hayne Plane. They also had Samoan legends, Timmy Lafay. Yes.
Tim Lafay, the one that was shredded
with the baby oil, walked out with the Tor Samoa. He is the second most capped Tor Samoa player after Gina Bolo. Also, Kenny Seal, he also played in that team.
Former Parramatta player as well, Ken Seal. Kenny Seal.
And they actually had a player who was meant to play, but he ended up coming in a bit later. And his name was Jaden Lang, the YouTuber, third strongest man in Australia. But a huge tournament. We finished second. We got our ticket to the Gold Coast. And that's why my voice is a bit croaky, because I was screaming from the sidelines.
Were you screaming at the ref as well?
No, not the ref. I'm trying to manage. With nines, it's unlimited interchange. So you have to manage making sure you've got nine players on the field at all times. We're down to 14 men the last day on the Sunday. So if all I knew is if I had five on the bench, we were sweet.
Quick math. Here we go.
In the semi-final, we need the ball back. And then I look up, the guy next to me, he's the one of the staff members. He's counting all the numbers on both teams, and he goes, the other team's got 10 players. And I'm screaming, 10 players, 10 players. The ref gives us the penalty. We get the ball. We go score a try. We win the semi-final to get to the GF. So
there you go.
Great coaching, I must say. But, shout out to the FTA Nines team for a successful weekend and everyone who played a role, all our staff members, Tiana, Chris. It was a great weekend.
Mate, how many grand finals have you been involved in this year?
This year, there's been a few. Even one of the players was like, why aren't you playing? I'm like, mate, can't win everything.
Mate, imagine if you played, you probably would have won the grand final.
Maybe.
But anyway, nine's a different beast.
Yep, let's shift over to a tournament that was actually held down the road from this tournament. Rugby Union.
Yep, the Pacific Youth Cup from ages under 12 to under 18s. And this is where we see a lot of our Pacific diaspora here in New South Wales, in Sydney, come together for this one weekend and celebrate our cultures as well as play a bit of rugby union over 3 days. And I look after New South Wales Tonga, and then there was like New South Wales Samoa there, New South Wales Fiji, Queensland Samoa were there this year. The Solomon Islands had a team as well.
Oh, really? What ages from the range?
Under 12s. 14s, 16s, girls, and then it was 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, 18s, boys.
Wow, that's a lot of teams.
1,700 kids.
1,700 kids.
Played in this tournament.
So this tournament's played in Western Sydney,
Wayland Reserve.
The fields are. There's how many fields would have been going at the same time?
Eight fields going. And do you know the worst thing about that? Every team needs to provide a touch judge and a ground marshal. So the other years we never had a radio. So someone had to go and run back to our tent if you're on the other side. But this year we had a radio, and then some of the teams forget their touch judge. And so I had to run from the tent all the way. We're talking about 500 meters to get to the other side. So we're gassing it there, and it's a rolling clock too. So once they blow the whistle, the game started.
You're covering for another team. Another Tongan team.
Yes.
To be their touchy.
So you have to provide one from each side. And so you're gassing it over to the other side so they can start the game. But anyway.
Well, and then if there's eight fields, they obviously have to provide refs. Now, some of these refs, you know, we're talking some of 17, these refs, 16 yes. year olds. And then you have obviously the coaches that
some of them were 80.
frustrated at, you know, look, they're not professional refs.
They're not. And I did let my emotions get the better of me. Look, shout out to my under 14 girls, the mighty under 14 girls. We went down in the semi finals against the New South Wales Maldives. We went down 7-0. And look, the young female referee there, I think she was 17, and I'm sorry for my outbursts, but I was invested. I was emotionally invested in the game. Mate, I wanted to win.
How many conversations have we had about parents that whinge the coaches that get too emotional?
A few times.
And you were that person on the weekend.
I was that person. Look, there's a couple of rules that were just not right, you know, in the line-out.
Under-14s rugby game.
Under-14s.
With a 17-year-old ref.
Yes.
You're not going to get a professional rugby union game, mate.
But these are the bread and butter basics. But look, I'm sorry. I just really wanted to win that game for our girls. And it just meant a lot to me. Like the girls came off crying. I had two girls crying on my shoulders. I was crying. I put my sunnies back on. It hits a bit different, coaching
women,
girls.
Or girls. Yeah, not even women, girls.
Girls under 14s. Yep. Yeah, but what an amazing experience. Honestly, best experience. It just warms the heart that's what we're doing, giving back to some of the kids.
What about some of the Pacifica people that you got to cross paths with at this day? Because I've seen some of the footage, you know, photos, videos. You could see people and cars parked hundreds and hundreds of metres.
Mate, packed out days, and some superstars turned up too. I saw Stefano Utoikamanu. He had some cousins playing for the New South Wales Samoa team. River Lee Alo as well, who actually played in this tournament only 2 years ago.
Tell me you got it ready to come on Nijan footy.
Ready to go, because I played with their old man, Dave Alo. I saw him there. I was like, hey, Dave, it's good to see you, but I can see your daughter over there. Chances of getting her on our show? He goes, ask her yourself, bro. I was like, oh, sorry. River, sweet to jump on. She goes, yeah, of course. I was like, yes.
She's played for the Cook Islands and the Fetu Samoa.
Yep, so she'll be coming on next year. Who else did I see? I saw Dream Buller there.
Yep.
He was
Did you
there.
Ask him to come on the show?
Nah, I was a bit shy. He was sort of busy with all these kids surrounding him. But
Dream Buller, I actually seen some footage of him playing basketball.
He's got some hops on him.
He can ball.
He's got some hops on him. But what we do need to look out for are some of these players playing in this tournament. Playing in the future. Absolute superstars. The under-12 Samoan boys team.
Half of them play league, mate. Probably all of them play league.
Mate, half of them are my size. Huge. And under-12s. The number 8 was a girl. And there's an under-12s girls age group for that tournament. Too good for that. Played number 8 for the under-12s boys. Carved up.
Here's a question for you. You're saying the talent from under-12s all the way to under-18s, there would have been some agents out there.
Oh, there would have been. There would have been. But do you know who the best one was? And they're all league agents, of course. The best one was the CEO of Rugby Australia was there, Phil Waugh. And I was emceeing the opening ceremony. And when I introduced Phil, firstly, I couldn't say CEO properly. I mumbled stuttered through saying CEO.
Anything that relates to spelling, CEO.
CEO, can't do
it. Doesn't surprise me.
Anyway, I got him up here, and as he sat down, I had to have a cheeky dig at him. I was like, Phil, look, I know Rugby Australia is struggling at the moment. The Wallabies didn't win on the spring tour. And his head went down a little bit. And I was like, but there's plenty of solutions at this tournament. Please invest in Western Sydney. And I said, look, we need a Super Rugby franchise in Western Sydney. We need a Super W franchise in Western Sydney. Make it happen. And I guarantee you, we'll bring back a few trophies.
Did he give a nod, a wink, something?
Yeah, he gave a little nod, but really do it for me. But anyway, that was a wrap up for the weekend. It was fantastic that we both were still involved in the game too.
Yep, huge weekend. Now let's finish strong for the rest of the year.
My name is Ali Kator and I'm listening to Nissan 40.
We do have some rugby league news for you. Let's start with Jeremiah Nanai at the Cowboys. Unfortunately, he's had to get shoulder reco from his injury that he got playing, representing the Tor Samoa. He'll miss all of preseason and the Vegas trip for the North Queensland Cowboys.
That's a huge blow.
A huge, huge blow, because on the back of that one, last year, the Cowboys also lost Jason Taumalolo.
Oh, that's right.
His injury during the Tonga Australia final.
And they were filthy about the medical staff probably not providing, I guess, the required information.
And some other good news, actually. Ali Katoa, he gave an update on his social media, shared some photos on Instagram, and, you know, he thanked his partner. He thanked Tonga Rugby League, and he did say, you know, he's back home, but he is recovering, going well. Recovery has gone well, and hopefully I can keep ticking all the boxes that I need. And he said to the Storm fans, in God's time, he'll be back.
Oh, man, I hope so too. I pray and hope that he is back. But, you know, seeing those photos, T, obviously there was that first one of him running out for Tonga. And then as you slide across, you just see him in the hospital. Like, it really hits home, eh, when you see him recovering after surgery. You see his partner, you know, by his side. Like, that takes a toll, not only on Ellie, but his loved ones as well.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts to see those images. You know, I was watching the highlights of the concussion during the warm-up and then him on the sideline,
yep.
You know, when he's mentioned, like, something's not right here. Yeah, that hurts to see that. You know, it's just the way, you know, how can we make sure that this doesn't happen again? So, yeah.
And just, so and before we move out on from that, like, do you think we'll see a decision on what might be next, like next year or sometime around the findings of how to prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, a lot of investigating needs to happen or is happening. The integrity unit at the NRL, I know they're playing their role, and they just need to get all the details right before making any decisions.
Yep.
But the main thing is, let's just make sure that this never, ever happens again for any of our players. So thoughts and prayers go out to Ellie, and you know, we're in your corner, brother. That is all we have for now. Let's get over to, no, actually, we will be heading over to Shelley Long to catch up with Rugby League, Rugby Union in the women's space. But let's shift over to Rugby Union.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofogo-Celia from the Shelley Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, you are listening to Nijan Footy with Sammy Wykes and Tinero Arona, and we are heading over to Rugby Union now. We do have a little bit of news here, and we're going to start with R360. That's probably the biggest talking point at the moment. It is, I guess, done and dusted.
All the air has just gone out the balloon.
We
need that balloon noise.
Give me that balloon noise.
mate,
2028 has been reported. It's going to kick back off, but
all the time we spent investing, talking about R360, players in the NRL thinking, what, this is going to be a great opportunity. Zach Lomax has left the Parramatta Eels, and then
where does it leave him?
R360 have announced that they will push everything on pause. Nothing will be kicking off until 2028.
After the Rugby Union World Cup. And
so that's not next year, not the year after, the year after that. So 3 years away.
Just when the Perth Bears come in. So I don't know what players, if they're trying to go after NRL players, all like those players that will be now with the Perth Bears, the PNG side. So I don't know where they're going to be picking these players from. But on a serious note, it is, I was optimistic and I was hoping that a competition like this would get up and going, because I just can see the upside of it. One, there's more opportunity for our talented players, both in the men's and the women's space, to be able to play in a competition. And the fact that if they did get to play in this competition, especially our Pacific Island players, they wouldn't have needed to get permission really to play test footy, because the main goal for them was them R360 not impacting the test arena. So that's what I was hoping for, but it wasn't meant to be. And I just feel like there's going to be a lot of players in limbo, because I know a few players signed pre-contracts.
And they would have been very excited.
Especially if there was a few zeros on the end of that contract.
Some might have already spent their money in their heads.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be a pretty tough situation to be in at the moment.
Yeah, I reckon.
What do you think? I'm only thinking of R360 of like, creating all this noise, you know, they think this competition was about to kick off, and then all of a sudden everything gets put on pause. What do you think the main reason to that is?
One is probably the lack of knowledge on who's actually running the show. I know Mike Tindall's name was thrown around, the ex English rugby union player, married into the royal family, but it was just him front and center, and there was all these whispers around. It was money coming from Dubai, there was money coming from here, all these independent investors, but no one actually
owned it. Ran the ship.
Exactly.
There was no Peter Vlandis.
There was no one actually, yeah, banging the drum so hard that like this competition is going. It was all like done in secrecy behind the scenes, just sort of like behind the scenes, hoping that people will just, yeah, commit to it. But in this day and age, you need to be front and center, even if and really advocating, really coming out and putting it out on socials, news outlets, on how everything's going. So I just think that organisation piece just was not there for people to trust.
Yeah, my thoughts are that I know there was a lot of chat around the LIV Golf and how it was successful in the golf space, a similar thing to R360. They probably didn't realise the amount of work that had to go into creating a tournament that looked after a squad that comes with coaches, high-performance staff, footy managers, general managers,
yep,
travel. You know, you're not just looking after one golfer and his caddy. You're looking after a squad of players and their staff. So, but yeah, look, R360, it's been put on pause till 2028. And, you know, let's not talk about it till then.
Yeah, we'll see what happens from there. But there's some other news around rugby. The Dubai Sevens kicked off the Sevens tournament just over the weekend. And Fiji, they finished third. They came away with the bronze medal, beating France 24 points to 7 in that third and fourth playoff finals. They lost to France in the pool stages 24 to 19, and so they did well to come back in that game to take bronze. New Zealand beat Australia in the final 26 points to 22, and probably the highlight for me in that tournament. Do yourself a favor, head over to the Sevens social pages and look at Nanduvalo's try. He was a standout for Fiji. He finished off this try from George Bosse overhead pass to Dalavolo. He bumps off one, goes to the sideline, standing in the tackle. And he's just there waving his hands around, like just waving the ball, one hand like this.
Got the tennis ball in his hand.
Pretty much. And then launches an NFL pass back to the other side. And then it was just sharp hand movement, ball movement to the edge for Nanduvalo to finish off a great try. And just something that the Fijians can only do, like impressive start, and they'll go on to the next tournament in Cape Town in South Africa to hopefully go a couple better and try and get the win over there in Cape Town.
Yeah, doso viti doso.
Doso, nice. You're learning. Good stuff. What does doso viti doso mean?
Does it mean go Fiji go?
It does mean go Fiji go.
There it is. Well, let's head over to Shelley Long and catch up with Women's Rugby League and Rugby Union.
Hey everyone, Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nijan Footy.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
For our last time in 2025, we have Shelley Long, our PNG Orchids and NRLW player. Shelley, what have you got for us? I know it's been a while since the NRLW season has finished.
Yeah, so whilst the NRLW season has come to an end this year round, and it will be a little while until the 2nd of July, which is when it officially kicks off in 2026, there's still a lot of talks happening at the moment with player movement, but also some really important key dates which people should be keen to know about. So what I might first kick it off with is actually Fijian player, something really special that was just recently announced was Fijian player Tale Holmes announced her pregnancy. So she will miss out on next year's season. I think she's due to have bub in April. So super exciting for her. She is expecting a little girl, I believe, too. So we wish her all the best on this journey.
Oh, congratulations to Tale. I know the Sharks are going to miss her. That'll be a big loss.
Well, just on the Sharkies, they've picked up.
It is China Pulata, proud Tongan representative, former Cowboys player, did sign a two-year deal with the Sharks. So she will move to the Shire. It's super exciting for her. And I think with that, with Tale now announcing her pregnancy, that will open up the opportunities for China Pulata and also a lot of their younger girls as well to try and have a shot at getting that position in back row. Tale's been phenomenal for them, and I think China Pulata will be a great induction into their team.
Up, up, Cronulla.
But in other news, guys, there has been a lot of player movement in the NRLW so far, with the Warriors, Stacey Waka, Mele Hufanga, Gail Broughton, Aneta Claudia, Nuasala has gone over to there. So they are really strengthening as they're looking for probably a 2026 premiership for the Warriors. But the Dragons also had Lavinia Kitai. She is a proud Cook Island woman. T, it'll be super exciting for you guys to have some representation down there in the Dragons. And Pale Fuimaono will also return back to the Dragons for the 2026 season. So again, these teams are all having some great signings across the board, and we're looking forward to what has to come out of the 2026 NRLW season.
The New Zealand Warriors, eh?
So is that what you are you telling me, that the Warriors are a chance?
They have just stacked to take up with three
over Brisbane premiership, and the Roosters.
Three premiership players from the Broncos to join them. So do you think that comes with some expectation for the 2026 season?
I think it does, and I think for those players, like, they get to return home, so it's going to be an even special season for those players. So I think that will really be helping boost them in that competition. The Broncos, however, they've had some incredible signings in Jessie Southwell. She strengthens their solid team as it already stands. Lillian Yarrow, former Cowboys player, has signed there. So they are, you know, that team continues to strengthen. I don't know how. I think we're all wondering how they managed to get all these players there. But the Warriors, they'll definitely be a challenge for the Broncos in the 2026 season.
Before we shift over to rugby union, is there any other NRLW or Women's Rugby League chat that you have for us?
Yes, guys, I will say as it's getting around to Christmas time and everyone loves to watch women's sport, particularly women's rugby league, the Indigenous All-Stars was announced. It's going to be the 15th of February over in New Zealand. So if there's any fans that are not sure of what they should get for Christmas, it's definitely a ticket to that game. Be there. It's going to be great. And the three State of Origin games have been announced. The first one will be in Newcastle on the 30th of April, followed by Brisbane the 14th of May and the Gold Coast the 28th of May. There's some really exciting news happening. And Magic Round, Wagga Wagga, next year.
Awesome. Great news. Let's shift over to Rugby Union. What do you got for us?
Finally, we've got some news. The Sevens tournament has kicked off. Sam, Take the giggle out of that tone. it was a great weekend of rugby sevens. You know, it's been a long time waiting for us to have some rugby news, but unfortunately, it didn't go the way we were wanting it to go. Australia lost to New Zealand in the women's final in Dubai.
Our Fijiana women, not a bad tournament for them, not a bad finish for those girls.
No, they had an awesome tournament, and they did really well in their pool, actually, and they ended up going on to the cup semifinals. They just went down narrowly to Australia, 31 points to 10. It was a great game for them, and I think looking at their past few seasons, this is definitely the one where they've came out with a big bang and are ready to really show the work that they've done behind the scenes. Adi Vina Bulecki scored a try in that game, and so did Silica Kualo. So some sensational tries had out of that game, and I'm really excited for them to take it on to Cape Town in the 6th and 7th of December.
Cape Town, one of the best places to ever visit. T, Shelley, make sure you get to Cape Town, South Africa. Beautiful spot in the world, but you've got to play rugby union to do that, so you're probably never going to go. Anyway, Shell, thank you so much for your time.
We're not finished yet.
Why aren't we? What have you got for us?
This is the last episode of the year for Shelley.
Okay.
So just wanted to ask her, you know, when you reflect on the year, I know we usually start with how you're doing with your journey and the knee injury and returning back to play. But, you know, for getting ready for a big 2026, when you reflect on 2025, how have you felt when you do look at the journey you've had so far?
To be honest, it has been a really tough journey. I think, like, injuries are injuries, but the ACL one was definitely the toughest injury by far that I've had to overcome. In saying that, though, jumping on here with you guys, you know, most Monday mornings has been the best part about it. And I think whilst I haven't been a part of the game as a player, I've definitely enjoyed the moments that I've been able to reflect on the games that have been played and really share other people's successes. And that has been a great part to this time that I've had away from sports due to injury. So I'm looking forward to next year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how much more we can do in our sports, both rugby union and rugby league.
Very, very well said, Shelly. Great work.
Shelly, outstanding work. Remember, we love having you on.
World Cup 2026, PNG Orchids, we coming.
That's us. Got to grind away, but got to do that behind the scenes, and then when I'm ready, I'll let you know.
Sounds good.
You enjoy your Christmas. Stay safe. Keep training hard, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thank you, guys.
Later, Shelly.
It's Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Hey, before Big Will Skelton, there was a big man playing in Super Rugby. His name was Big Sita Leki Temani. He was born in Tonga and he's a product of Liahona High School. He made his Super Rugby debut for the Force, the Western Force in Perth in 2008 against the Sharks in Durban in South Africa a week before my one. He went on to earn 18 caps for the Wallabies, played in Japan. He's still playing in France, but I guess the biggest moment for him would have been, and we'll ask him in the interview, would be running out for Tonga at the age of 39, making his test debut, doing a full circle moment. And he joins us now all the way from France. Big Sita Leki Temani, my lord of land, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to tell my story.
Bonjour, ça va? How's the, I know you're in France, how's your French going?
Yeah, ça va, ça va. I'm a bit.
Oh, he can speak it. Beautiful. How long have you been in France now?
We came up in spring tour in 2013 and ended up staying here since 2013. And I went back to Australia 2021 when the COVID hit.
Let's go into a bit of your story. Born and raised in Tonga. Yeah, whereabouts is your village in Tonga, and what was life growing up as a kid there?
I grew up in Namtoka, so my village didn't have any... they didn't play rugby, we only play soccer. So I just started to play soccer. First time I went overseas was represent Tonga soccer under 16, I think. We went to Australia and I went back to Tonga, I think, too big to play soccer.
Bro, to give a bit of... To give a bit of context, this guy's about 2 meters, 2 meters 11 or something like huge. Like he towers over me.
Were you the goalkeeper by any chance, or were you the position?
Yeah, goalkeeper and a defender.
That is crazy. And then
went to Liahona.
What was that like for you? You know, being brought up in Tonga and then having to move away from your family, go over to New Zealand and go to school at Auckland Grammar.
It was just shocked, or not knowing any English. You were going to school. I went to boarding school in Grammar. I was struggling a little bit there. Just the language barrier. Didn't really speak much. And I went to stay with my uncle out in Henderson. So I can get a bit of family time and a bit of home from family to, yeah.
And so, Sita, from there playing in Auckland Grammar, you mentioned the Cronulla Sharks. So you've gone from soccer to then rugby union and then now to rugby league. And I'm assuming that you didn't play rugby league beforehand.
No. The only way I went to rugby league is because back in the day, we have 3 years in Australia to get qualified to get a super rugby contract. That's why I went to play league, just to get a bit of time. My target was always to play union. Yeah, when I played under 20s for Cronulla, and then end up in the first grade squad the second year. Rick Stewart came in. It was very tough. Probably the hardest preseason I've ever done. I went back to union. I haven't done it this preseason as hard as that year. Running sand here Saturday morning, doing 4 and 5 every one.
Yeah, that, I know those summers, they don't sound very good, and makes me happy to know that I'm retired because, it's not easy. Yeah.
I went home for Christmas and then I was like, I can't go back. Okay. I don't want to go back because of the crises that we went through. And then I look back now, like, as if I stay in Tonga, I would like, go back the same circle. Like, nothing will get better or nothing get done. That's all. I make the decision just to go back and stick through with the.
So you've had your little stint in rugby league, and now you've found your way into rugby union with the Western Force and with the Perth Spirit and the Australian Rugby Championships, the one that's one down from Super Rugby level before you played Super Rugby. And this is where we connected along the way in 2008. But that opportunity there to find your way back to rugby, this time in a team that's on the other side of Australia. Yeah, what was that like, that feeling like to be able to get back to rugby union?
I went over there and I gained a little bit of confidence from league, like ball running and tackling and stuff like that. So I got to use that through the preseason. And then I was still not qualified to play. I still had one more year.
So to put a bit of context in that, so Sita, because he wasn't eligible for the Wallabies yet, he back then, the rules were really strict that you had to be eligible for the Wallabies to play Super Rugby. Now you can actually have spots in your roster where it's okay to play. But back then, there was no one allowed to play Super Rugby for an Australian franchise unless they were eligible for the Wallabies. So in Sita's case, he had the dispensation if someone was injured, he could come in. So round one, Nathan Sharp was sick. And against the Sharks, I was supposed to then come in and make my debut, but I missed my flight because my passport was expired. So I couldn't get over there in time.
You had to travel to South Africa.
So I couldn't travel over there in time. And then I landed. And so they're ringing to make sure Sita was available. Because I wasn't injured, I was still supposed to probably make my debut. But they just said, look, he's only just arrived. Sita's got to be the next man up, and he had a cracking debut against the Durban Sharks over in South Africa. But what an experience, eh, Sita? Like, you know, making your debut. What was that like when you told your family that this is your you're making your professional rugby debut?
We were all on the other side of the world, and then back then the communication through the phone was not like what it is now. I have to call off get a tick, one of those phone cards from the shop, and then you have to ring operator or something to connect it to someone at the time. I had to ring them, my mom, and told the family, and they were happy. And they couldn't able to watch the game because back then there was no televising like Utonga and stuff. Yeah, they were happy at the time, and then for me. Went in there, wasn't to the crane stand. The crane stand like was straight up to the air, and the full stadium was like overwhelmed.
At that moment, did you think, you know, from your upbringing where your journey started in Tonga playing soccer, then all of a sudden you're playing training with the Cronulla Sharks with Ricky Stewart, and then now you're making your debut in South Africa, going into the big stadium. Did you think at that time you're like, oh, you know, this is a dream come true?
I think my mentality back then, just finding opportunity, I think to escape, not escape, but provide a better situation for the family, to provide for them as well. Any opportunity I got given, I did it 100%. I know I have a little bit of taste of Super Rugby. This is good. Like, I want more of this.
Yeah.
And I, like, we're getting paid to play the game that we love. And for me, it's just more providing for the family.
It sounds like, you sharing, making these sacrifices, looking for opportunities to then provide for your family back in Tonga. You know, how did you manage that during your rugby career? Providing for your family, providing for the family back at Tonga.
From day one, my dad passed away when I was 7. And we grew up in Tonga just with my mom and 7 of us. It was a little bit of struggle. I'll say we were struggling growing up. And I think that's why sport and opportunity was giving me a little pathway to find opportunity or to provide for the family. I think that's why when I was young, when stuff's getting tough, and I always have that in my back of my mind that, yeah, it's no matter what's happening, I'm just going to push through and just to provide, I think, yeah, everything else will fall in place.
Before I get to your Tonga game and making your debut at the young age of 39, I want to just quickly touch on your Wallabies journey. You know, what was it like to represent the gold jersey, the green and gold jersey, you know, and represent Australia, the land that gave you this opportunity to, you know, to play rugby union for a living?
At the same year, Tonga was in contact with me to come and play for Tonga at the World Cup. But then a few weeks later, I got named at the Wallabies. And then I just feel like Australia was giving me the opportunity to play rugby over there. My way of giving thanks to Australia for the opportunity to give me. And a few of the balls that I played with me, the Wallabies, Caps, Cliff. And it was fun when we were the task, like going from the task to the Wallabies, we had the same attitude. And at the time, I feel like it was the right choice for Australia.
Hey, Sita, I'm going to ask this with you guys. So you had Sekope, Wycliffe, Tafu, Tadafu Polota now, and yourself, maybe a couple of others. Were you guys the original Team Tonga with the T's? I feel like every time that you guys said that, and after that, everyone started doing the T's up for Tonga. Were you guys the originals?
I got to ask Tadafu. I think... Yeah, I think it is. I went there, they had it before I got there. Yeah, it started off just the...
Oh, with the finger first, it was just a little one.
And he went...
Oh, then the hand single. Yes. Okay, yeah.
And then you went from there. I think my last season over there was the...
the evolution of the team. How good.
I think you're good, but you got to take with the Tafu over there, one.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll have to get him on. Tafu, answer your phone. I'll keep ringing you, mate. Oh, but now let's move over. Then you got the opportunity to represent Tonga after all these years. It feels like a full circle moment where you make your debut for Tonga against Scotland only not that long ago. How did that opportunity come about?
When I went back to Australia 2022, get an opportunity with the force, I went back to retire. I was done with rugby. And they changed the rules for the World Cup. You can see that for 3 years. And then I was like, ring up my agent and said, I want to make Tonga for Tonga. Can you give me this ring around and see if I can get something somewhere? I end up signing a 2 years contract for Toulon. We end up coming back to France. Yeah, it was good. Came back, Totai, I was talking to Totai at the time. He said, yeah, I'll be in the group and stuff. And then he ring me up and said, I will just wait until someone get into you. You're coming in. So I do my paperwork, and then I was available since 2023, but then I was just waiting for a call. And then in July, Tenio Halangahu, he hit me a message on Messenger. I said, hey, Togo, what are you up to? And then went into the camp. Yeah, it was very emotional. Not like... It's different from playing for Australia, your first game for Australia. I went in there, I feel like I feel right in there. I feel like my identity, that I belong there. It's hard to explain. It's just an experience that I will never forget. Yeah, very emotional. I think about my dad, my mom, my family as well. I wish they were there to watch me represent the country. For me personally, like even my kids here, they love Tonga. Every time we go to Tonga, they didn't want to come back. You see me putting on the red jersey, and just something they will never forget. I told them I played for Australia before. They're like, "Nah, you're lying." Yeah, look, there's heaps of people over there. I'm over there somewhere.
I'm over there somewhere.
Yeah. But then putting on Tonga. I can see their face, how proud they are as well. even my wife as well, just to be in the journey. The reason why we came back to France is to play for Tonga. And then it took me this time and finally come. And yeah, I'm very, very proud.
How crazy is that? It took me to France to play for Tonga. You know, those words. I had to go to France to play for Tonga. Like, that's crazy. A lot of players, usually when they, like say for someone like myself or someone that wasn't brought up in Tonga, when they go into those camps, they're learning the Sipitau, they're learning the anthem. For yourself, did you know the Sipitau straight away, like, to be able to perform it?
Not really. I had only done one practice at Captain Run before we went in. I watched a couple when I was young, and yeah, I kind of know the move and stuff. I was just hiding in the back and copying the other guys at the front.
Guys, you can't hide at the back. You're 7 meters tall.
I remember my first time watching Guy Kaletahi playing. I was in T5 in Tonga against Fiji, and I had to escape school just to go and watch the game. And then watching them at the time, I was like, yeah, I want to be in a big state and playing for my country at the time. I didn't even know this until after the game. I just lay back and think about the past, and it came to me. First time that I wanted to play for Tonga, I think I was 10 at the time that I escaped school just to go and watch the guy that I play. To be able to put on the red jersey was incredible.
Oh, man, how good. Look, the World Cup is in 2027. Yeah, the age of 39. Have the legs still got enough to get there?
Plenty.
It's good here in France. The last 2 years, I've been playing home game only, and they kind of look after the older guys over here.
Only do the captain's run too.
2 years too, will be the same. I think I'll be able to make it the World Cup.
Here in Australia, here in Australia as well, the World
special
Cup.
Treatment. Oh, I like the veterans treatment.
Yeah. Well, Sita, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you and connect with you after all these years. You're one of my favourite players to play with. I absolutely cherish those early years at the Western Force with you on and off the field. And it's, just a privilege to watch your journey and just hear of it now. It's going to inspire so many. So, ofalahiatu to you. I hope you get to the World Cup. And hopefully we'll be there on the sidelines.
Tease up, tease up.
Tease up.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, my name's Lydia Kavar, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Oh, Sammy.
Oh, T.
Two more weeks to go, mate. Two more weeks, two more episodes of Nation Footy.
Give me three.
Our game of categories, 3 points of grabs each
three
week.
3 points of grabs.
3 points, four grabs.
Up for grabs,
each
mate.
Each week. What is going on with my English? But the loser has to shout the host and their partner, a spa day, dinner, the works. And we're only two episodes away. You are up by 42-40. I must say there were, when I reflect over the year.
Oh, here we go.
Now, Will Hopewell
get the violins out.
Handed you a fair few points there.
Please get that music out for him.
Who was the, those three Nijin players that scored tries for Melbourne Storm?
Here we go.
Xavier Coates.
Mate, are you done? We're nearly at the end of our show, mate. We're running out of time with all of your excuses.
Anyways, you're asking me this week, and then I will wrap it up next week, giving you the final three. Give me three.
Okay, so this took me some time to figure out, okay, what's he been doing? What does he always want me to do? And it came to me. I had a light bulb moment where if you complain about this, I'm going to replay some of all your questions and what you keep asking for. And it's spelling.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Are you happy with that?
We'll see.
Oh, far out, man. You are a hard man to please.
We will see.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you three rugby league players to spell that okay. we've had on as guests.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Bit nervous there.
Are you? Let's go with the first one. I'll go hard first. Let's go with Aneta Claudia Nuasala.
Oh, Nuasala. Okay.
Oh, there's a click of a pen if you just heard that.
Aneta.
Aneta's probably the hardest bit to spell.
I know.
What letter is that?
Double N E double T A.
That first bit is correct.
Claudia. C L A U D I A.
That is correct.
Nuasala. Is there any silence? Are there any silence?
Nuasala.
Oh.
Did I just pronounce it for you?
No. Is it Nuasala or Nuasala?
I don't know. That's why I threw it out there.
Oh, no, you're rocking.
I just put a bit of doubt in your head, yes.
The worst part is that I played with his brother.
Her brother? Yes, you have.
Frank Paul Nuasala, N-U-A-U-S-A-L-A.
It's incorrect.
Is it Nuasala? N-A.
No, there's N-U-U.
Oh, W.
A-W.
Oh, I knew there
it's
was something.
It's a W. Close. Oh. But it was just not a W, but as in a U-U.
So that was tough.
Okay, so that one's out of the way. Let's go. An easy one here from PNG.
S-A-Banu.
Essay. Like a writing essay.
Can't be E-S-S-A-Y.
It is E-S-S-A-Y. Yes, there we go.
Banu, B-A-N-U.
Yes, there we go. You got there, but I saw you writing it on your paper, just checking.
Yeah, no, I was there writing out. My first attempt was E-S-E-I.
I get that from the way Pacific Island names are being spelt. Let's go to Tonga now. Let's go to Tonga and spell Mele Hufanga. Man, I'm absolutely giving it to you here, wanting you to catch up to make the last gimme three of the year.
Oh, you know what?
A spicy one.
M-E-L-E.
Yes, there's Mele.
The reason why I was a little bit confused on Hufanga, because Cook Islanders would spell it H-U-F-A-N-G-A. Dinga. Yep. So I'll remove the N and we'll go H-U-F-A-G-A, Hufanga.
Oh, my goodness, T, that is wrong.
Is it?
You got to put the N there, nga, tonga, T-O-N-G-A. Samoans remove the N. So you only come away with one T. Does that mean I win?
First of all, I'd like to apologize to Melly, because that was my bad.
It's no one else's bad. Great accountability.
Yep.
But this is what I'm feeling.
Hufanga.
Just maybe I'm trying to right some wrongs here over the weekend and make up for probably my behaviours.
Trying to make, put the
karma
back
in.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm feeling generous. I'm going to give one more for you. One more. And because I've seen him at the Pacific Youth Cup, I feel like you're going to get this one. Stefano Utoi.
Okay.
Kamanu. Can you? I've just sounded it out for you.
Stefano, S-T-E-P-H, nah, jokes, F-A-N-O.
Yes, Stefano is there.
Utoi Kamanu, U-T-O-I-K-A-M-A-N-U.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is. Right. We are off to the big dance with a tiebreaker, 42 points.
Could have made
each.
An episode out of
oh,
that.
Oh, absolutely, we could have. And that's our time up. Tell your footy loving friends about Nisian footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Tune in for our last episode of Nisian footy with myself and Tinidale Aruna.
And we have a huge guest who has made some noise recently.
Here he is.
Coming next week on Nisian footy.
There's
so
a tease.
Tune in. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.